Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 237, recorded February 2nd, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello.
Who have we got this week?
We have Tony in New York, and Ducky Love from Twitter, and then we have some of our own stuff.
Yeah, which I think we should say first.
Okay, let's say those first.
Okay. Well, this weekend we got to do something really cool. What did we get to do that was really cool?
Oh, we finally got to go to the aquarium here in Salt Lake, their new location that opened this last fall, and we hadn't gotten to go yet.
Yeah. It is, you know, a fair expense to take our family
there. Six people.
So, we actually were gifted a yearly membership.
Which is very exciting.
Which is really cool. So, thanks to my parents, because they're the ones who gave it to us.
Grandma and Grandpa.
Yep. Because they knew we were all, you know, fishy fans. And they have a membership, and they said, hey, we'll get you one, and we'll go, and it'll be fun. And we went, and it was really fun, and I have...
We didn't even get all the way around it yet.
We'll no, but back. We didn't have to, because now we can go back whenever we want, within reason.
No, and it's right opened. Now.
Well, we could do that, too.
Might not be open right now.
Might not be open right now. But we were really excited, had a lot of fun, and we're going to go back. Lots and lots.
And we got lots of videos for you guys.
Yeah. I'm going to compile it into a highlights video. Mm-hmm. But I did want to point out a few cool things about it. Because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just in a new location. They've changed a lot of things and added some things.
Well, and it's bigger than than the old location. So they've expanded.
They have. And let's see. Well, I'm flipping through the video that I took on my phone so that we can share it with you.
There are all kinds of really cool things.
Yeah. What was your favorite thing about the aquarium?
Oh,
I think
gosh.
I know the answer, but we'll see if I was right.
I don't know.
Well, the thing that you reacted to most strongly is what I'm thinking about.
I'm trying to remember what that was. Tell me what I reacted to. I'm sorry. I'm tired tonight.
You were so excited.
Well, I love
it.
The rays. I always
That's
love
it.
The rays,
that was
the stingrays. They make me want to cry.
That's
They're
the
like fairies. Leafy sea dragons, too, although they don't actually
they
have
don't
them.
Have
but
any
those are my other favorite
right now,
things.
But yeah. That was what I was thinking, the rays. See, I got you a video of your rays
right
there.
Oh, yes, there they are. They're beautiful.
I don't
we'll
know
put
what
it
species
up for you guys.
That was, but we'll get a video of it. It's cool because they have an aquarium you can look into, but then they also have one of those bubbles that you can go under and pop your head up and look into the aquarium from inside it in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. And they've got rays and they've got an eel and different things in that one, and it's fun. And one thing that I noticed about this aquarium that I thought was really interesting, they use a lot of LED lights.
The lighting in that section of the aquarium in general is very dim. So you could see into the tanks, I guess.
Well, it's LED lights, which has a different, you know...
Yeah, but it was dim.
Different quality.
Like in the
this
area where the people's
one.
Where it was dim.
Oh, you mean like the
in that
the
area
people are walking
the
around
aquarium.
In the, that part of the aquarium. Okay.
Not in like the South American journey part,
right.
But the ocean part. It was very dim.
Okay. Do you mean not the water? Do you mean, what do you mean? Like the places where people are?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Places where people are. And then I was talking about the lighting in the actual aquarium, so I got thrown off. Sorry. I got a little confused.
You meant in the tank.
I meant in the tanks.
Yeah. I meant in the aquarium as in the building that is an aquarium.
Okay. I get it. Sorry, I'm a little slow tonight.
But that's okay. Maybe I'm a little fast.
Maybe so. I don't know.
Maybe I'm just a little vague.
But, yeah, they used LED lighting on a lot of the aquariums. And one interesting thing is it makes glitter lines, which are like the lights you see from as the sun when it goes through the waves.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see the wave shapes on the
that was pretty
the seafloor or whatever it is, and we'd see those when we went snorkeling because of the sun, but
right.
You also see these because of the LED lights, because it's the point of origin of light is one spot, and it changes the way the light works. Like if you have a big fluorescent bar, it's not going to do that. You don't get glitter lines so much, but that was interesting because it made it feel like you were under the ocean a lot of the time. And I think in some of the places with the deeper tanks, they used kind of blue light, which made you feel as if the water were deeper, because right. that's what it kind of looks like deeper under, sort of. And so there were those. They had some really cool cuttlefish, too.
Yeah, that was neat.
From the video, you can check those out, that were interacting and flashing each other with colors and different things like that.
We got to see some of the tanks getting fed.
Yeah, one tank in particular had some sharks, and I'm not sure if they're bamboo sharks or cat sharks, but they were about 2.5 feet yeah. long, maybe. And then they had like several types of moray eels. And they were feeding all of these. They would impale little bits of squid and things on a long stick with a flexible rod attached to it. So they were actually impaling them on the flexible rod attached to the stick and then feeding them that way. And there was this yellow-headed moray eel that just really didn't want to eat. He was reluctant. But then there were the striped moray eels that would come up and eat whatever he didn't.
Mm-hmm. And that Maybe was fun. He doesn't like squid.
Maybe not. I don't know. And we got to see the sharks eat from the same stick and different things like that. And we took some video of that, and that was fun. We also saw garden eels. Garden eels are so fun.
They look like cartoons.
There was one garden eel that I really tried to get a picture of, but it was a different color from all the other garden eels.
It's like orange.
It was quite skittish, and so it darted away, and I couldn't see it. And they had the Bangai cardinal fish, the ones that are mouth brooders, with a little breeding trap in the main tank with babies in it, which was fun.
Yeah, that was cool.
I took some photos and some video of that. They had some really fun urchins that were incredibly long spines. And then they had, I think it's called a thread fin snapper.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's quite striking.
I liked it. It was very pretty.
Yeah, so I got some of that. It was in with some dwarf lionfish. And then they had...
Oh, they had a mantis shrimp.
Oh, they had a big shark tank. And the cool thing about this shark tank, it's very large, which is kind of fun that we're out in the middle of the desert and we have this big shark tank. But another thing is, it's not uncommon for shark tanks to have tunnels where you can go into the tunnel and look up, look to the left, look to the right, look in all directions and see sharks. You know, that's not uncommon. But in some of the older aquariums, they have panels. It's made of panels. And so you get lines. Window panels, but divided by these support beams between the panels. But this is just one piece. One tube of acrylic that you sit in and you look and you have an uninterrupted view.
It's really neat. And I had sea turtles in there too.
Right, sea turtles. They had all kinds of things in there. They had sharks. They had various species of sharks, at least 3 or 4 species of sharks.
We saw something really gigantic, then we're like, oh my god, oh, it was a moray eel.
Yeah, there's a really big yellow moray eel.
I don't know, like 6 feet long and just massive. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they got that big.
And they had some big nurse sharks in there. They had some leopard sharks. They had like black tip and white tip reef sharks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds. They had an angel shark, which are really funky looking. They had some of our old favorites from Hawaii that we'd see a lot, like raccoon butterfly fish and unicorn fish of various kinds and surgeon fish that we recognized from our snorkeling days. They had some beautiful antheas in there.
When we were there, a couple of scuba divers
in there doing some stuff. And let's see what else we had going on. Oh, penguins. They had Gentoo penguins. Quite a few of them. They had a breeding colony of Gentoo penguins going on there. It's a nice setup, too. Big. They had... The Amazon area was really nice, too. And they had not only Amazon fish, but Amazon amphibians and reptiles as well. They have a really large dart frog vivarium that's like half the size of our bed. Of our queen-size bed. It's really big. And nice. Has a lot of different frogs in there. With live plants, of course, and everything.
Caiman.
Live vivarium. Mm-hmm. They had milk frogs. The dwarf caiman was pretty amazing. It was fun. And the Amazon room is huge. It's like a big atrium. How big would you say it is? I don't know. I have it on video. Looking from one side to another, you can see the tiny little people on the other side of the vivarium, or the giant vivarium. And there's a rope bridge in there that you can go across. Different things like that. And they have one of the neat... one of my favorite exhibits. I don't know which one was my favorite, honestly, because there are so many that were so fun. But they had, what is it called? Amazon Giants?
Something
I think
like
that was the name.
And they had... these should be in the Tank Buster.
They had arowanas. They had peacock bass. They had pacus. And they had an arapaima.
And he was just funky looking.
It was 5.5 feet long. It was amazing. Really beautiful.
It's not done growing.
And it's not done growing. It could easily reach 6 to 8 feet, and in the wild they've been known to reach 15, although that doesn't happen very often anymore. But they can get really big. And that was fun to see. So I got those things on video. And they had a tank with basilisks in it, a male and a female basilisk. But one of the fun things about it was that the water level, or the water, had a whole bunch of Endler's live bears in it. So they had all these branches and plants growing up above with the basilisks perched on them. They had lily pads and things in the water, and then under them were all these Endler's live bears darting around, which was fun. I liked that. And then they had a tank with caiman lizards in it, and caiman lizards are pretty incredible by themselves. They're quite large lizards.
Almost as big as the dwarf caiman.
Yeah, they're like, approximately iguana size. Not exactly, maybe, but approximately the size of an iguana, like a green iguana. And
a grown-up, an adult.
Yeah, and they've got a caiman-like appearance to their body in general, kind of a very crocodilian-esque tail. Crocodilian-esque is probably not a word, but I just...
It should be.
...said it. And so on, but then their heads don't really look like a caiman or any kind of crocodilian. And they have flat, kind of flat teeth, very strong, but flat teeth that they use for crushing mollusks. It's one of their specialties. Mm. So, interesting creature.
Some interesting colors, too.
One of your favorite fish that you noticed there, besides the rays, was this guy.
Yeah, because he just looked... His tail, it's not incongruous, but it's...
Striking.
It's unexpected. Usually, fish colors look like they belong on a fish, you know?
And he's got
tiger, these really tiger stripes... on his tail, like the same colors as a tiger, but it's like, it's not shiny like on a fish. It's like you said, it's a matte, almost velvety looking.
Mm-hmm. And it's called, do you remember?
No.
Flagtail tetra.
Oh, well, they should call it a tiger tail. One of the names.
It may be also called that.
They forgot to consult me when they named it.
Yeah, well, there's probably more than one name to it. We should look up.
But it was just like, is that really on his tail?
It was fun. It was really cool.
It was really interesting.
Cool fish. And then we also saw, of course, the caimans. They were really the last thing we saw, right? The caimans. And, you know, they're not very big dwarf caimans. They were, so this one's probably about 4 feet long or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun.
But we'll put together a highlights video for you guys.
Mm-hmm. We'll go back, too. Yeah. And because there are still other exhibits we weren't able to see. When you have that many people there and some of them need to eat food, then... It gets kind of difficult to stay, but it was fun. So if you're ever in the Salt Lake area, it's about, what would you say, half an hour, 35 minutes south of downtown Salt Lake City, something like that.
Not even half an hour.
Less than half an hour.
Yeah. It's in the Salt Lake Valley.
Yep. So if you're in the area, it's worth a look. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun. And we'll be going back and perhaps... doing some more specialized things. We've always wanted to do an interview with them. And in fact, last time Kelly was there, prior to this time, when they were in the older building, she talked to somebody who said that they would be excited to do an interview with us, but we just never followed up because...
Well, they were moving and we were moving.
Yeah.
And
that's why we hadn't followed up. But now that they're not moving anymore, maybe we can pull something together. So, there we go.
It's time for that station break thingy. When I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99. Well, shall we go to Tony in New York?
Yeah.
He says, "Hello, Aquarimax. I have heard a lot of controversy out there about whether one should place some sort of padding under an aquarium or not. Some say a piece of insulation foam or of cork or carpet tiles will help even out irregularities. Others say these materials will just stress the tank's bottom. I wonder what's best. I'd love to hear Aquarmax weigh in on this controversial hot-button issue.
Okay. Let's go ahead and read the rest, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it.
He says, I wanted to say, too, that it was awesome having a look at the motorbike frog, so thank you, Matt. You're looking at me funny. They were Matt's, yeah?
No, okay.
Fine. No, sorry. Like, did I mess it up?
I just look funny.
You don't look funny. I like you. I think you're cute. I also wanted to hear an update from Sai about the exciting beta project.
So, Sai, out there in India, let us know how those little betas are doing.
And finally, my belated congratulations to Russ and Kelly on surviving the power out with all pets coming through it just fine, which we are still very glad.
Yeah.
He says, swim well.
Oh,
we'll try.
The thing timed out. Yeah, I thought the motorbike frogs were fun, too.
Yeah, they're cool stuff. Pretty frogs.
So, okay. Well, let's talk about his question about using supplementary padding under an aquarium, between the stand and the aquarium. What do you think about it?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just thought I'd put you on the spot.
You used to do it. You don't do it so much anymore.
Right. You're right. I don't do it so much anymore, but I used to do it a lot.
You used to do it more, though, when we didn't have proper stands, if you were putting it on a piece of furniture that was made not for an aquarium stand.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really have those anymore. That was when we were still collecting stands, so
yep.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not.
It does. It does, and I think that's a good point that you bring up. I think if you have an aquarium that is anything over about 5 gallons,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you should always be careful what you put an aquarium on. You know, it should always be level,
mm-hmm.
and it should always be flat, and those aren't necessarily the same thing. Because you can have something that's flat but is
tilted
on the floor level. Like, if you ever have tried this,
the legs aren't even, then it's going to be wobbly.
Like in our old house, this was much more of a problem. It was an older house. It was built in like the 1940s.
The 40s, yeah.
And so if you tried to put anything too close to the wall, it was always skiwampus.
It's true.
It always leaned.
That's a great word, skiwampus.
Yep. It always leaned a little bit because the floor and the...
You know, we haven't done a movie quote in a while.
That's true. Should we do one?
And you just almost did one.
I did almost do one.
Because he was leaning. Okay, tell us what it's from. Kay. Continue.
Okay, so it would do that, and I was always worried about that. And so I would scoot the aquarium stands a little bit further away from the wall than I would have liked, just to keep that from happening. In Hawaii, I remember I had a 20-gallon long at work, and I had it straight on my desk, because I had a big desk there. I wish I had a desk that big right now. I don't. But anyway, that's beside the point. It was an L-shaped desk. You know, it went along two walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so in one part of it, I had my 20-gallon long planted aquarium set up. And I figured that I wasn't sure that the desk was capable of handling all of that. So I got some of the padding, and I tried a couple of different things. What I ended up settling on, there's that puzzle padding. I don't know if that's the true name for it.
That they put on the floor?
They put on the floor. It looks like puzzle pieces and you stick it together.
They have it for toddlers where it has like letters and stuff on it, or you can get a heavier duty, like black kind. They use it in car repair shops and stuff to walk on, that kind of thing.
And it was about
rubbery.
A quarter of an inch thick.
I don't know.
I believe. Right around there. And so I put a couple of pieces of that together and then cut them. And so that they kind of fit with the bottom of the aquarium. Just to even out any irregularities that might result from the fact that it was on a desk and I wasn't sure the desk was quite
entirely
flat enough.
Level.
And it worked fine. Never had any stress cracks or any problems there with that. I've used a couple of other things. I know sometimes people use polystyrene, otherwise known as styrofoam.
Mm.
And they will... The good thing there is it's really cheap, and you can get a fairly big piece of it. You know, I can go to the hardware store and get, what is it, a 2 feet by 4 feet by 1/4 inch, and that's like $2.50 in U.S. dollars.
So it's pretty cheap.
So it's pretty cheap, and you can cut it to whatever size you want, so that works okay. And the nice thing is, if you have your aquarium on a surface where you need to retain heat Or you're just, you know, you're in a room, you think it's going to get cold. If you have that bottom insulated, that can help.
That makes sense.
And you can even put it around the sides of the aquarium if you think that's going to be important too, depending on, you know, temperature differences that you think you're going to encounter between the room and the temperature you want to maintain in the aquarium. So,
okay.
You can, you know, use that. There are a couple of other things you can use. Cork sheets. Have I ever used cork sheets? You know, I can't actually recall if I have. I may have.
Sounds familiar, but it's probably been a while.
Yeah, I know I've purchased cork sheets for use in aquariums. But at any rate, there are a lot of things you can do with the heavier aquariums. And, you know, I would never recommend putting anything above a 10-gallon tank on something that's not made to be a stand. Unless, well, I've done it, I guess. I did that 20-gallon at work, mm-hmm. and I've done things like that. But in general, I wouldn't recommend using a non-stand for an aquarium that's greater than 10 gallons unless you're really sure that it's going to be okay. You're sure it's very level and very smooth, very, you know. Any sort of irregularity can cause stress cracks. The last time I suffered a stress crack with an aquarium, I think I was about 13.
Oh, it's been a while then.
Yes, and I set them on a, I don't even remember what it was, but it was a container that was clearly not meant. You know, it was a wooden, not a container, it was a wooden structure, like a table-y sort of thing, but it was not meant to bear the weight of the aquarium, and within hours it had cracked. And
well, sometimes when you're 13...
I learned my lesson. Yes. I never did it again. I've been very careful ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't worry about it if it's a desktop, a 2-gallon desktop aquarium. There's nothing to worry about because it really doesn't weigh that much. And you're not going to put it on something ridiculously flimsy, but most things are okay.
Because 2 gallons is what, like 16 pounds?
About, yeah, 16, 17 pounds. Maybe a little more with the gravel and whatnot.
Most tables ought to be able to handle that.
Right. And it's intended to be used on, you know, desks and various pieces of furniture, so it's fine. But I would say, I don't think they cause any problems as long as the surface, you know, the padding you're using is even itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it causes any harm. I don't think it makes it any more prone to stress cracks as long as it's very level and smooth. But I don't think it's needed if you're on a stand. That, I guess that's, you know, right. In a nutshell.
Okay.
Not necessary, but not harmful particularly, as long as it is very level and so on. So hopefully that
makes sense.
And I have used them, but like you say, I haven't done it in a while and haven't seen a need. So there you go.
That's true. Alrighty. Well, thank you, Tony. We have one more. Ducky Love wrote from Twitter. What would you suggest for someone moving as a way to transport their fish? Could you do a show on moving with fish? Thanks.
Well, you know what?
We did.
And
what episode number did you look it up?
Watch this. I'm going to use my psychic self and figure it out. 126.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or did you just guess?
No, I'm pretty sure it's 100. I did look it up before the show, actually. I think it's episode 126. And we talked about it at length. So I think
Should we talk about it really fast right now?
Well, we could. But I would suggest going to check out episode 126 too. But we can do some quick, you know, highlights right now. But just
depends on how you're going and how far you're going.
Right. But if you're listening to our show from iTunes and you don't know how to get to episode 126 because it's too far back, what should you do?
I know.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, you didn't do the Qualm quote.
Which one?
We knows. Oh, shut up.
I don't know the Gollum voice yet. I can't do the Gollum voice either.
Isaac can do the Gollum voice. Isaac, okay, you guys get 2 movie quotes this week. Okay, so you go to our website, which is just www.aquaremax.com.
Or you can leave off the www
and
if you want.
Just be all fancy and modern and don't do the www because that's so 12 years ago.
Yeah. You can leave it off or use it. It doesn't matter.
So, aquaremax.com.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have? We have a page with all the episodes on it.
Well, you have to up at the top. There's a little bar that says different things like about and podcasts and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And you click on podcasts.
Click on podcasts. And you have to, like, keep pushing back. through the pages, don't you? You can't just like search for an episode number.
Oh, you can. If you go to like Google search engine and you type in Aquarimax and moving fish.
Oh, maybe that episode will
then
come up.
Boom, it will come up.
Or you can go to the podcast page and just sort through, keep pushing the next page button until you get back to 126.
Watch, I'm going to do this thing on my phone. Watch this. I'm going to type in Aquarimax.
He's going to see if it comes up.
And moving fix. Oh, I typed in something
moving
wrong.
Fix.
Moving fish, sorry.
So it does depend on how far you're going and what your mode of transportation is.
Okay, it's loading up, folks. Oh, look at that. Aquarimax, episode 126. Oh, avoiding parasites, moving fish, and...
Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
Okay, so you could do that and it would take you right there. If you are flying and you have to take fish with you, you will have to mail them.
Which isn't very fun. No. But it's doable.
We talk about bag buddies on that episode, right?
Yeah, but I don't use them anymore.
You don't like them anymore? Well, so maybe this is why we should talk about it at short, then.
Well, I said that in episode 126.
Oh, though. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me why you don't like them anymore, because I don't remember.
I just felt like you can ship fish without them, and when you do ship fish with them, I think sometimes they never... I don't know. I can't really attribute... There's not necessarily a causal relationship. But I feel like the clove oil is an anesthetic. Mm-hmm. You know, it is. It's an anesthetic, and that's why they use it, because it helps calm them down. But I just wonder, I guess, if there are some other adverse effects.
It kind of makes them a little brain dead?
Maybe. I don't know. It could be. You know, Peter was never the same once we shipped him across the ocean.
Yes, that's true.
Our goldfish, Peter. We used...
Poor Peter.
...bag buddies on him, and he was fine. And he lived... I mean, he was fine when we lived in Hawaii the whole time. And then when we went to, when we shipped him back here, he was never quite the same, and he lived for a number of years thereafter, but never quite as healthily as he had before, which may not have been from the bag buddies, but it may have been partly the stress of moving and all those different things, but, you know, there you go, for what it's worth. I'm not saying, you know, that it's a bad product, I'm just saying I don't use them anymore. Except for occasionally to anesthetize fish. I do use them for that sometimes. Euthanize fish. That's what I meant to say.
Right.
I've used an overdose of those to euthanize fish because clove oil is one of their active ingredients and clove oil euthanizes fish fairly effectively. So.
So if you're driving, we talk about various ways to do it that way.
Yep.
Driving far, driving short, if you're just moving across town.
And it does depend on the size of your tank, and it does depend on how many fish you've got, and lots of other things.
If you're moving somewhat locally, it's really, really helpful if you have a couple of overlap days to move from your old place to your new place.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really hard to move tanks and fish and all your other stuff all in the same trip.
Yeah, I highly recommend separating them.
Yeah.
And here's just a little tip. Make sure that you have thought about these two things. Exactly where your outlets are. Mm-hmm. How many exactly you're going to need. Whether or not you're going to need power strips, you know, that are safe to use with aquariums, because not all of them are. And make sure that when you've chosen a place to put the aquarium, windows are not going to cause glare on the front of the aquarium at any time of the day. We don't want... you know, a whole lot of window light directly blaring into your aquarium for several reasons. One, to avoid algae, and the other one, to allow you to actually see the fish. Because it's a real pain to try to look at the fish when they're getting a lot of window glare. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find a place you can see them until it's dark, and that's no fun. And it will sometimes stress out the fish.
Because they don't get to wear sunglasses.
We once did that. We were moving, and we were so hurried that we put our 55-gallon in this corner. We thought, this will look really nice here. And, you know, the feng shui of the room was nice, but...
You couldn't see into the tank!
You couldn't see into the tank, and the fish were stressed out and scared all the time for those, you know... I don't know how long we had it there. It wasn't very long.
We moved it.
We moved it to the other side of the room, and then it was fine. And everybody was happy. So, those are some things. But anything else we want to cover before deferring to episode 126?
I don't know anything off the top of your head.
Okay. One is that you're going to have to contend with possibly gas bubble disease.
Mm-hmm.
Or outgassing issues. So
if you can keep some of the water.
Keep some of the water from the original tank. Not in your tank, though. You need to take as much water as you can out of your tank itself, because you know, any significant weight in there will greatly increase the probability of damage when you're moving it. So you got to take as much as you can out. But if you have buckets or something, you can store some of the water in. That can be helpful. And then you don't want to keep all of the water, but just some of it. And then the best thing to do is to, you know, put all the original water in and then dechlorinate and add additional water till you're close to the top. And then allow your filters to run for a little while to get the bubbles out, and then add your fish, you know, float them in a bag and everything as you should to acclimate them. But don't add them until you've had a chance for those gases to
get out of the new water. You know,
yeah, come out of the solution. Because if you don't, if your fish can get gas bubble disease, which is essentially the same thing humans get when they get the bends.
When there's
the gases under pressure in your pipes get in your tank, and the gases start coming out, and they will turn into bubbles in your fish if your fish are still in there when they're doing that. If the fish, you know, will essentially take the gases into their body before they've decompressed, and then they decompress inside the fish, really can be painful, can be dangerous. So if you can let the tank outgas for a while before you put your fish back in, it is best.
Okay.
All right. I think the rest of the things we wanted to talk about were in episode 126. So
go check that out.
Thank you for suggesting that. And
good luck moving.
Yeah. And if you have any specific questions once you've listened to episode 126, please feel free to ask those, and we will attempt to address them for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, until next time,
may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.